أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. لئن لم ينتهي المنافقون والذين في قلوبهم مرض والمرجفون في المدينة لنغرينك بهم ثم لا يجاورونك فيها إلا قليلا. ملعونين أينما ثقفوا أخذوا وقتلوا تقتيلا. سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل ولن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا. يسألك الناس عن الساعة قل إنما علمها عند الله وما يدريك لعل الساعة تكون قريبا. إن الله لعن الكافرين وأعد لهم سعيرا. خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا. يوم تقلب وجوههم في النار يقولون يا ليتنا أطعنا الله وأطعنا الرسولا. وقالوا ربنا إنا أطعنا سادتنا وكبراءنا فأضلونا السبيلا. ربنا آتهم ضعفين من العذاب والعنهم لعنا كبيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى فبرأه الله مما قالوا وكان عند الله وجيها. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، وصلى الله وسلم على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all conditions, and we seek Allah's protection from the condition of those who shall be entering hellfire. For indeed the heat in hellfire is far worse than any heat we can taste in the dunya. As the Quran says, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا. You should know that the heat of the fire of Jahannam is far worse. So we ask Allah to protect us from that. We praise Him upon every condition. And we send blessings and salutations upon the masterpiece Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah to bless all His household, His companions, to bless every single one of us who are seated here, all those who are listening, as well as those who shall listen, and even those from the ummah who have not listened and may not listen to this talk this evening. We still ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them. They are part of our family, and they are also part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, once again it brings a smile to the face to witness the brothers and sisters here in this beautiful city of Colombo. And we thank Allah for giving us the genuine feeling that we have within our hearts for one another. And at the same time, we ask Allah to accept from us our attendance and the fact that we are trying to learn a little bit more of the deen. If we take a look at the duties we have, we will find the pillars of Islam are five. We start off with the shahada, the utterance, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides the one who made us, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that there is the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger, the prophet, the one whom we follow, and we bear witness in that regard. Then we have the pillars of salah, which is the prayer. Then we have the pillar of zakah, which is the charities. And we have the pillars, or the pillar of fasting, as well as the pillar of hajj. If you take a look at all these pillars of Islam, when we fulfill them correctly, they will develop our personality. One might ask, how? If I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, I will automatically follow His message. And His message is full of personality development. He has told us the do's and the don'ts. And everything we say regarding social conduct is definitely part and parcel of what He has taught. And it came to us through Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who taught this to us is Muhammad, may peace be upon him. So when we utter the words, He is the messenger, it means we are following Him. Like Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that if they claim to love me, meaning if they claim to love Allah, then they should follow you, the messenger. So the sign that I love my maker is that I follow his messenger. That is the sign that I love my maker. And it would be the sign that you love your maker, that you follow the messenger. And if you follow the messenger, he is the one who brought the message to you. Today you have a band of people who will say, you know, I only adopt what is in the Quran. And whatever the Prophet brought, that's not important. The reality is, well, he brought the Quran. That's a reality. He is the one who brought the Quran. So it is through him that we got it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come to me or to you to say, take this Quran, here it is. It came to us through the messenger. So we got it from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we believed, and we still believe, that he has brought it with amana, and he has brought it fully with a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, and it is handed to us. So where does personality development come from when it comes to the messenger? May Allah's peace be upon him. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was asked about his character, his conduct, his personality. She answered using one word. And this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ His character and conduct or his personality was the Qur'an. So that one word summarized the whole character of this masterpiece Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may peace be upon him. So if we take a closer look at his life, we will find through the books of history, the books known as the books of Seerah, that have recorded every aspect of his life, the way he spoke, the way he treated the Muslims, the way he treated the non-Muslims, the way he treated his family members, the way he resolved matters even prior to him being given the prophethood, the way he addressed community issues and matters, how he was looked at as the most trustworthy person. Amazing. All this points towards the masterpiece. When people did not like him and they swore him, he never swore them back in return. He knew he was not only a Muslim, but he was the messenger. And this is why we all know the story of the lady who had sworn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are many such stories that are in his seerah and in his history. And he was helping her carry her goods from point A to point B. And as he was walking with these goods, she began swearing him, not knowing it is him in front of her. And he is the one helping her. And he was saying, there is a man in Mecca. You dare listen to him. Very bad man. He is swearing our forefathers. He doesn't agree with our gods. He is doing this. He is doing that. And so much she spoke. At that moment, he was silent. He did not say a word. What would we have done? Imagine you give someone a lift, and I've said this in the past, you give someone a lift, they jump into your beautiful vehicle, and they are swearing the owner of this supermarket, and they don't know it's you. They say, that man is greedy, he's stingy, he's jealous, and he is full of himself, and he never helps anyone, and he is like this, and he has divided, and he has what? Minimum, you would stop your car and say, out. Out. Move. That is minimum. I don't want to say maximum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us blessings. So what happened to our personality? We claim to be the followers of a man who did not do that. We claim to be the followers of a man who did not even think of doing that. What did he do? This woman was swearing him, and when he got to where he was getting to, he says, is there anything else that I can do for you? And she says, no, but what is your name? There came a stage when she asked, what is your name? You see, people of this age, they don't normally help so readily. He was beyond the age of 40. He got Nubuwa and prophethood at the age of 40. And so, imagine how old he was, and he was helping and assisting a lady, an elderly lady, who was not related to him. He didn't even know her. She didn't even know him. For us today, I think a lot of the young would agree that we would only help someone if they really looked good enough to help. Allah protect us. Yes, it happens. Sometimes even the others, slightly older, fall into the same trap. So someone looks good enough to help, we'll help them based on what they look like, not based on anything else. May Allah make us from those who base our assistance on that which is humanitarian. Remember, Muslim, non-Muslim. Some people think these are non-Muslims, we should not help them, leave them. You know, let them carry on. That is directly against this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who did he help? Not only a non-Muslim, but someone he did not know. What made him help her? Humanitarian grounds. This was an elderly woman, and she needed assistance. She would have probably shuffled on her own, collecting her goods, and someone else might have come to her assistance. Why wait for someone else to get the reward when you can get it? And you're standing right there. It's an opportunity, golden opportunity. Seize it. So he seized it. And then when he told her his name, he says, you see, there are different narrations that make mention of this. I'm going to say one of them. He says, you see, when I picked up your goods and I began to carry them for you, you started talking of a man. And you mentioned this, and you mentioned that, and you said he is like this, and he has sworn our gods, and the gods of our forefathers, and he has come to split and divide us, and don't mix with him, and don't listen to him, and don't even look in his direction, because he is a magician. Whoever looks in his direction, he casts a spell on them, and they start accepting his message.
And she's listening. He says, well, I want to tell you, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately, and we've heard this in the past, I'm sure. Immediately she said, well, if that's the case, I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, the one you are calling to. And I bear witness that you are indeed a messenger. You are a prophet of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. Based on what? Based solely on his personality. Nothing else. Anything else? Not a word. He did not yet give her da'wah. He didn't tell her Allah is one and this. She knew everything. A lot of the non-Muslims already know a lot. But they are waiting for us to behave in a manner that our messenger has taught us. And they will come through. Believe me. Bare minimum is the enmity they have against us will be minimized. You have in any country on the globe, there are a lot of non-Muslims. A lot of non-Muslims. And we have a policy. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have your faith, you are free to follow it. And we have our faith, we should be also free to follow it. This is it. We don't trample on your feet, you don't trample on ours. But we should be racing and competing with one another on humanitarian grounds to prove that we are actually following the more correct religion. And we are following that which is more beautiful and that which is even better. And we have higher teachings. If you look at the countries of the globe, when the Muslim traders came to the countries one by one, they accepted Islam based on what? Based on their character and conduct. Based on their personality, the upright trading that they had. It was not based more on the fact that they went and shoved it down the people's throats. They did not do that. There were no swords used in Indonesia. In fact, Islam did not spread with the sword. It did not at all, unlike what people believe. Some people say Islam was spread by the sword. For your information, the largest number of human beings ever to enter the fold of Islam in a 10-year period was between the year 2000 and 2010. I'm talking of now. The largest in number, which sword was used? If any, they were used against us rather than anything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an upright understanding. So, I am only speaking of the first pillar of Islam still. We have uttered, I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides my maker, Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, may peace be upon him, is his messenger. That bearing of witness automatically will make us follow this example. Where are we and where is the example? It is about time we looked at it. Aisha radiallahu anha says, his personality was the Quran. Look at the Quran. I read verses before you where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O you who believe, be conscious of your maker at all times and only utter that which is upright. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Utter that which is upright. Don't utter that which is not upright. What is upright? You tell the truth at all times. You don't lie. You don't cheat. You don't deceive. You don't use your tongue to abuse. In your own home, you utter words that are upright, that will result in the harmony of your home, the smiling of your wife. How many of us have uttered words that will make our wives laugh or smile or be happy? These are words. They are needed. Sometimes you might say, well, you know, you should feel it. It's in my heart. Come on, stop doubting me. Never mind doubting me. You need to say it. They need a reassurance. And my dear sisters, remember, the same rule applies to you. Sometimes some of the sisters don't say how much they love their husbands. They don't. And we normally attack the husbands. But we'd like to remind the sisters as well, it is not enough for that to be only in your heart. Yes, you show it with your actions. Indeed. You show it with your actions. That is more important. But they also need to hear it with their ears, because Allah gave them ears. If we didn't have ears, we would say, don't worry, don't say it, just show it. But because we have ears, they need to be, mashallah, what can I say? Let me use a good word. They need to be made up. You know the makeup you have? You need to make up your ears with good words. You know, you need to see ear stick, not the lipstick, but the ear stick. From what? From kind words uttered by those who are closest to you, your loved ones, your wife, your children. Have you uttered it to your children? How many of us have told our children, my son, I love you. My son, my daughter, you are the most important person in my life. I think many of us have grown up thinking that that is taboo. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sure that he kissed his children and his grandchildren, and he kissed little children as well, and he made it known that he loves them to bits and pieces, and he was so much engrossed in love with them, with his own children and grandchildren, that one day in salah, one of his grandchildren was on his back and he could not get up from sujood. Firstly, what was the child doing in the masjid? Today we have a child of that age in the masjid, I think we will tear down the whole masjid. People will rip you to pieces. What is that little baby doing here? And secondly, on top of the imam. And thirdly, delaying getting up from sajda. What did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He continued, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. He continued in his sajda. And when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum tried to have a look at what was going on, because it was something very important, there was a delay here. They noticed, oh, this is the grandchild playing on his back whilst he is in sajda. He delayed the sajda, no big deal. Today the child would get two smacks, mashallah. Who do you think you are? Next time watch out. Never mind that, that imam himself would probably be fired. So the two smacks were worth it. What were you doing with your grandchild here? So where is this personality and where are we? We can be religious, but we have not yet made our own children feel loved. We have not yet told them, do you know that I really adore you? Do you know that I work in order to earn money, in order to spend on you? Do you know that I love you? This is why I take you here and I do this for you and I do that. Why don't we remind them? Why don't we tell them? And remember, when you have told them, it is not enough to only tell them. Hand in hand, we need to show it. MashaAllah. No use to come in home and say, oh my wife, I love you. Next thing you're busy on your BlackBerry with another woman somewhere else. Well, what was that? Just to pacify her? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May He safeguard us. Same applies to the women folk. No use to pretend that you love someone when you actually don't. And it's important for us to say this, to work towards it. It is personality. The reason I say this, it is within the home. Do you know? Today I want to inform you of something very important. One day, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was the best friend of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and at the same time he was the father-in-law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed by the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he heard his daughter having a big argument. Now you know, husband and wife sometimes, they can raise a little bit of their voices once in a while, I think. I hope it doesn't happen often. But sometimes, maybe with respect and so on, you might want to put a point forward and so on. We should remember to control your temper, your anger, your emotions when they are about to explode is an act of worship. Remain silent. Let them know sometimes, you know, I'm not in a very good mood, so please excuse me if I don't talk much. Just excuse me for a while. It's better than to start screaming and yelling and telling them things that will make matters worse. So if you take a look at what happened to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was passing and he heard this. He asked to be allowed to enter and he was given permission. He admonished his daughter and he shook her up basically. What are you doing arguing with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is this? And anyway, after a while he went away. And on his return, he heard them laughing. Allahu Akbar. He heard them laughing. His daughter with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were now having a good moment. And he made a very, very famous statement. He says, allow me to take part in your happiness in the same way that you allowed me to take part in your war a few moments ago. A few moments ago, I took part in your war. Now allow me to take part in your moment of happiness. What does this teach us? It teaches us that the father-in-law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not interfere in the life of his daughter at all. Unless it was in a positive way. Today your daughter has a problem. No, fix him. Sort him out. You, what's your problem? Why are you doing it? Go and follow that example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Look at their personality. When the daughter had a problem, or not even a problem, when she spoke slightly loudly, he did not want to know what went wrong. He said, you, watch out. To who? To his own daughter. Allahu Akbar. The tables have turned. And in no way am I condoning those who are oppressing their wives, but I am telling the fathers of those who have girls and daughters, and even those who have sons, that be careful when you involve in the marriage of your children, only involve in a positive way, not in a negative way, unless you really have to, unless they have come to you as a last resort for assistance because they are being oppressed, then everything changes. So I hope we've understood. I've tried to balance that statement. But go back to that personality. To start with, you say, no, make your home. You are wrong. How can you speak in this manner? No matter what, look at your error. Go and try again. Go and see this. Go and see. And then you have the personality of a Muslim coming up. And this is when marriages will work. But today we side with our own child. Based on what? Based on the fact that they are our child. Not on what is right and wrong. This is what is happening on the globe. And many people today, they have taught their children, look, anything, just phone me, I will fix him. You might have heard that. What type of statement is this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Then we have so many other examples in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is where the term Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into play. Let me move a little bit further. I will come back to this. But let me take you to the next pillar of Islam. The pillar of Salah. How is it that it will develop my personality? The Quran says,
اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ.
Read that which has been revealed to you in the book, which is the Quran, and establish your salah, your 5 daily prayers, for indeed salah prohibits from evil and immorality. And indeed Allah is the greatest and He knows exactly what you are doing. Amazing. Allah is telling you salah prohibits from immorality and evil. Let me inform you how. If you are in the condition of wudu, and you know that you are remaining in the condition of wudu, then automatically there are certain things you will not engage in, because you know they will compromise your wudu to start with. So we are taught to remain in the condition of ablution as far as possible. Number one, it calms you down, it cools you, it protects you from the devil, and it keeps you away from certain sin. That is only starting with wudu. Number two, we know that the prayers are spread out through the day. So I've read my morning prayer. What am I doing? If I am a real Muslim, I would know that I am busy with my Maker. I have raised my hands, I have tied them for my Maker. In my prayer, I will look on to a certain spot. I'm not going to look around. You know, you don't find people praying and they admiring the chandeliers in the mosque and they're looking this way and then suddenly they look up a little bit, they look down, they see the carpet, you know, and they look the other way, they see another man there and they might say, you know, sorry, I might not meet you later, let me greet you now. That does not happen in the masjid. Why? Because we are taught to look in one place. One of the reasons is, if 5 times a day, you can, for the sake of your Maker, put your eyes on one spot, then for the rest of the day, it should be easy for you, for the sake of your Maker, to put your eyes lower, where you are not meant to be looking. Amazing. But when your salah is not in order, then everything else, you're looking everywhere. That man who cannot lower his gaze, and that woman who does not lower her gaze, in salah, she has one of two things, or he has one of two things. They either don't look where they are meant to be looking, or they don't have concentration. One of two things. May Allah protect us. So sometimes people ask you, I need concentration in my prayer. My beloved brother or sister, start by lowering your gaze elsewhere. Then when you lower your gaze in salah, it will come with concentration. Otherwise, when you lower your gaze in salah, and it has not been lowered outside, may Allah protect us, the devil can come and make us think of the dirtiest things whilst we are in salah. Why? Because we didn't bother lowering our gaze. We were worried about everything else. So much so, that to occupy your mind with that which is unnecessary, can also snatch away the concentration in salah. You have occupied it with the latest car and the latest phone and this and that iPhone app and this BlackBerry app and this thing and that thing and this person and that person and oh what have you, this deal and that deal. As soon as you enter salah, you know, Allahu Akbar, and all you are paying is just lip service to it. And the imam is reading and you're happily just thinking, oh yes, you know, as soon as I finish, I saw that deal, you know, it's Christmas time and that shop had a deal. I need to, you know, quickly get that as soon as possible before it is out of stock. And the imam says, Allahu Akbar, to go in ruku', and you are still thinking, oh yes, I will go. Oh, okay. You know? Suddenly you are alerted to say the imam is gone down. Your deal is not complete in your head, but the imam is gone down. So what are we doing? Our personality is not being developed because we have not understood the essence of our prayer. Some of us could not even be bothered to pray 5 times a day. How dare? And then we want to say, I need to develop. Let me tell you, Islam is a religion. Allah says, if you don't want to follow it, we don't need you. We will bring others who will follow it. And wallahi, it is growing so rapidly. Never in the history of the globe has the globe witnessed so many people entering the fold of Islam. What are they seeing in it? They are seeing what we always know, but we don't want to follow. So you find all these weird sects that are coming about that are telling you, you know, it is permissible to listen to music and it is permissible and it is not important to look at the hadith and so on. All this are people who were sometimes born Muslims. Because those who have come into Islam, they are far stricter. Far stricter. But you have people born Muslims who start debating. Allah says, may Allah protect us. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you are going to turn away, we will replace you with others who will not be like you. They will be different. They will worship us. They will come forth. They will engage in what we have told them to engage in a proper way. And they will abstain from what we have informed them to abstain from in a proper way. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, the deen is something we need to hold fast upon. If we don't, it's going to slip out of our hands and someone else will hold on to it. We need to know that. Let us make an effort. We are so fortunate. Wallahi, if you study religions and you have studied Islam in depth, you will know that you have a blessing. You will know that you are so blessed. And this is why we say, never underestimate the Almighty and His power. Never ever think that you are a write-off, written off. Never think that. Why? Because a little flicker in your heart can change you forever and ever. But the problem is, when you have one reminder, so it's like trying the engine, and then you haven't really kicked it up to when it starts. After a while, you get another reminder, so you try your engine again, but you haven't allowed it to crank until it actually starts. And then you have a third one. By the time 4 or 5 happen, the carburetor becomes flooded and you will not start it. It's over. What does that mean? It means Allah will send you one reminder, you'll feel in your heart, I want to turn. Allah sends you another reminder, you feel in your heart, I want to turn. Allah sends you another reminder, you feel in your heart, I want to turn. That feeling in your heart is not going to continue forever and ever. After a while, your carburetor will be flooded and you will not get that feeling anymore. And it's not going to come to you. So when you have a feeling, let me turn to Allah, turn now. Don't wait for tomorrow morning. Remember, it is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the statement that will take us into paradise. We know it. We've understood it. We should try and learn more about it, put it into practice, consider ourselves those who are fortunate. And this is why we tell the sisters who do not want to dress properly, they don't want it. They say, no ways, I'm not bothered. Sometimes you now get people who are telling you, why do I need to cover my hair? Where in Islam does it say cover your hair? A'udhu billah. And they say, show me the evidence. What do you mean, show me the evidence? It's full, it's there. And you may debate and argue till you turn green. But remember, people might not want to argue with you. They will leave you at times because of the way you've asked the question. And what I want to say is, if a person does not want to dress appropriately, Allah creates another 10 somewhere in the villages of Africa who dress more appropriately. Somewhere in the corner of Sri Lanka, people who cannot even afford proper clothing, but they will dress properly. There is a hadith that I read yesterday, connected to yesterday's topic, on calamities, where there was a woman who was described as an African woman who was a Sahabiya, a woman who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "O Messenger, peace be upon him, I have a sickness where I suffer seizures." You know, she faints, she suffers seizures, and I'd like you to pray for me, because when I suffer the seizure and I don't know what's happening, part of my body shows and I don't even know. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, if you want, you bear patience, and in return Allah gives you Jannah. And if you want, I can pray for you and you will be cured. Now this is a choice that is not easy. If someone tells you, I can pray for you, you will be cured, or you bear patience on this condition and in return Allah will give you paradise, nothing else, paradise. What do you think this young lady decided to choose? I think me and you, let's be honest, we would say, you know what, pray for me, I need to be cured. I need the seizure to stop. I need this difficulty I am in to stop. I need this calamity to stop. She was very intelligent. She says, "O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I choose paradise." Allahu Akbar. "I choose paradise, but ask Allah that when I am suffering this condition, part of my body is exposed. That must not happen." So she is worried that in the condition of sickness she was being exposed, she needed to cover herself. Today, in the most glorious part of our health, in the most peak of our age, we have no sickness, no seizures. We open our bodies in with the intention of turning people's heads. And we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to add salt onto the wound. Allah protect us. Look at the example. Then we don't want calamity to come in our direction. Then we don't want anything to happen. How? We have lost that Islamic personality. Look at this lady. What type of a Muslim was she? She was so powerful that she decided these seizures. Look what she decided. Let's analyze it. She thought to herself, the seizures are going to last for a few more years until I die. Ultimately, we're all going to die. Even if I don't have seizures from today, I will still die when my time is written. And if I have the seizures, I will have how many seizures? Perhaps 100 or 200 or 300 before I die. If someone says, you have 300 seizures and in return you get paradise, I think it's a free deal, to be honest with you. It's free. Allahu Akbar. So this was her thinking. Look at this. Today we are not ready, number one, to bear patience over the smallest calamity. And number two, we are not worried about how we dress, yet we are not suffering. May Allah make us from those who are concerned. And I know whilst I am saying this, we respect all Muslims, no matter how they dress. The fact that they are Muslim, we respect them. They may have a deed better than mine and yours. They may arrive in paradise before me and you, because Allah loved them for something. All I have done today is encourage those who have not dressed properly yet to say, look, there is room for you to improve and there is room for us all to improve. You know, personality, character and conduct is such, nobody can say they have arrived at the peak. There is room for myself as well. And every one of us, no matter how high you are in personality, there is room for improvement. If you believe there isn't, you are not on a high level of personality. And this is why we don't look down upon others. We don't. We consider them equals, or we consider them better than us, or we give them that opportunity to say, perhaps they have a deed. Perhaps they are crying at night to their maker. Perhaps the sincerity of the few deeds that they are doing far better than the sincerity of the many deeds we may be doing. This is how we look at it. That is also personality. Because a person with a rotten personality is he who thinks, I am the one, I am the most pious, I am the best, I am the most good looking, I have the best clothing, I have the best, and all these people are a waste of time. If that is our attitude, we will be not only hated by people in silence. When I say in silence, I mean people might not have the guts to tell us because of our wealth, because of our status, because of what we can do to them. You know, people might not have the guts, but people will hate us, number one. We cause disunity. And if more people had to be like us, there would be a war on earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is why we say, learn from that great personality. I was speaking of prayer, salah. Imagine what it teaches us. Let me give you something else in terms of personality that the prayer will teach us. If you've attended the prayer which is read in jama'ah, in a congregation, how many people speak at once? One. And who speaks? The leader. And after a while, he gives you a chance to say something, doesn't he? He says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. And what do we say? Ameen. I'm sure you all know that and we all do that. But can you say Ameen whilst he is saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. And you say Ameen. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Ameen. Can you say that? We are taught not to speak out of turn. Wait for your moment, then you utter what is required of you. We are being trained automatically. Personality development through salah. Look at this. If you have a meeting and 50 people want to talk together, it's better for you to walk out. Because nobody's going to make heads from tails. Allahu Akbar. No one. You have one person speaking at a time. When you have to say something, you can raise your hand. When you are given the opportunity or the permission, you can say what you want on condition that you don't waste people's time, and on condition that you realize what you have to say, the best words in the shortest time, and you get across the message. We learn that from where? Personality development from salah. And I've just given you one point. I can still give you another point. You see, in salah, are we allowed to just walk wherever we want? Do you see people walking and reading salah? Suddenly Allahu Akbar and he's walking through the market. Do you see that happening? No? Why? You are supposed to stand in one place when you are reading salah and not move unnecessarily. Not move without necessity to move. So we are standing in one spot. Why? Is there something haram next to you? Is there something wrong in the masjid? Is there something unclean? No. It is just Allah's decision to say don't move. You are standing in front of your maker. If I can, for the pleasure of my maker, put my feet at a spot which will please him 5 times a day without moving, then I need to know that outside the 5 times of the day, I should only put my feet in a place which will please him. What's the point of walking towards the nightclub when I was reading salah 10 minutes ago? I could keep my feet on a spot for him, but now I can't keep my feet from going into a nightclub for the same creator. So if my salah was in order, and if my standing was in order in salah, then I won't go to a haram place, and I won't end up using my feet to walk towards that direction, because I have trained myself, and I've been trained 5 times a day to stand in a spot. My personality was developed automatically. This is why Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah prohibits a person from immorality and evil. Part of immorality is when we speak that which is immoral. Imagine, if I am to read Salah, I say, praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. He is the owner of the day of judgment. You know, most forgiving, most merciful. You alone we worship. You alone we seek help. Guide us to the straight path. The path of those whom you have favored, not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor those who have gone astray. And we say, Ameen. And we are uttering pure words from our mouths. 10 minutes later, we are swearing. What does that mean? That salah taught us nothing. Nothing. We probably don't understand what we are saying. Nothing. When I say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٌ, and you find later on, the man says, this man knows how to say it very nicely. His voice is beautiful. Forget about the voice. What is the message? What is the message? Allah is one, alone. Subhanallah, completely independent, no one like unto Allah, in none of his names or qualities, and so on. And then a person who says that with a true heart, do you really think he can go home and start swearing his wife and children? Do you really think he can come onto the street and look at someone and say, you know what, this person is very, very bad, and start swearing them huge swear words? Can they do that? If their salah was in order, they wouldn't do that. The same applies the typical problem we have in nearly every masjid on the globe. Nearly every masjid on the globe, we have a certain problem. When we get to the time of Jumu'ah, Friday prayer or the Eid prayer or very important prayer, something important, we find some of the most pious who might be rushing to read their salah right in the front. They've parked their car blocking the neighbor, mashallah, blocking the neighbor. Well, if you want to do that, there is no problem. All you need is to give them a complimentary helicopter, inshallah. Then you can do that, inshallah. Especially when your car is a beautiful one. Just come in, drop a helicopter, say, look, this helicopter is for every time I come to Jumu'ah. I might block your driveway. If you want to get out, you can jump. Or give them a trampoline, mashallah. Allah accept us and grant us goodness. The point I'm making is it's very bad for us to be inconsiderate. Wallahi, you'd rather miss one rak'ah. You'd rather miss part of your prayer than to block someone else. That is personality of a Muslim. You block a person. What type of image are we giving them in these countries where we are in a minority and even in countries where we are in a majority? But more so in a country where others are looking at us. They are watching us. They think these are the most arrogant people based on the deeds of 5 people out of 5 million people. 5 people have spoilt it for 5 million because their personality was smelling bad. It had a stench. Literally, it was stinking. Allahu Akbar. They didn't know how to park a simple vehicle. We haven't learnt anything, if that is the case. We don't know how to prioritize. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who understand, those who can take heed, those who realize Islam is not just going to the masjid and praying 5 times a day. There is a deeper lesson to learn from that. That's why I chose today to look at the 5 pillars of Islam and to show how each one of them develops your personality in a different way. Let's take a look at the next one. Zakah. Zakah is when you are giving your charities to the poor. The Quran says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allahu Akbar. Take from their wealth, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a portion as a charity that will result in their cleansing. It will cleanse them. It will clean them not only outwardly, but even internally. It will cleanse them. And pray for them. Allahu Akbar. So, the charity is meant to cleanse us. In what way? It's our character and conduct. It's our personality. As well as the wealth we have will be cleansed. When I have a lot of wealth, I will then give a poor person. In what way? What does Islam teach us? Let me inform you. The personality of a Muslim should lead him to believe that the poor person in front of him is a gift for him. Without that poor person, you were never ever going to be able to give a charity. Imagine all millionaires sitting here and you take out $500 and I want to give the other millionaire. He'll tell me, what? 500? What's all this about? Who do you think you are? You think I'm a poor person? So we need to consider the poor person a gift of Allah to us that you can give a charity to. And the hadith says, charity, as-sadaqatu tutfi'ul bala. You know, the charity would actually extinguish the calamity that is coming in your direction. So before embarking on a journey, you give a little bit of a charity. Before embarking on a journey, you give a charity. When something important is about to happen, you give a charity. Before an examination happens, you give a charity. To whom? To those who would accept it. Who will accept it? The poor. So when you look at a poor person, speak to him with respect. Speak to him with respect. Consider him a senior, not a junior. Consider him a gift of Allah sent to you through whom you can fulfill an act of worship. The sad reality is we don't do that. You see a poor person and a worker and you say, yeah, by the way, anyway. Some people will even maltreat them, laugh at them, scoff. Bare minimum is they won't even consider them human beings sometimes. Allah safeguard us. That same person, even if he's a non-Muslim, believe me, if you were to be kind to him, by him entering the fold of Islam, by the will of Allah, you stand a better chance to go into paradise. Why? When you have worked on someone and through your effort they have been guided to Islam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything they do, you get the full reward for it. Full. So it is like a double life you have now. Yours, your good deeds, and their good deeds. When you read Salah 5 times a day and he has read Salah 5 times a day, you get the reward of 10 Salah. When he ends up giving zakah, you get the reward of the similar amount. So you gave yours, and whatever he gave, you still get the reward for it, because you brought him to the goodness. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, wallahi la an yahdiya Allah bika rajulan wahidan khayrun laka min humur an'am. Wallahi, for Allah to guide through you even one person is better for you than whatever the greatest material wealth of this world has. Because of this, so we need to know, when giving charities, it is something good. It purifies our wealth, and it results in the development of our personality, if only we do it correctly for the sake of Allah. And this is why also, when people have clung, or when they cling to wealth and they are stuck to it and they become stingy and they don't want to give anyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectifies that weakness by developing the personality, by compelling a person to give out a certain amount. You are compelled. And you are not supposed to be so stuck to that wealth that you will compromise your religion, your ethics, your personality as a Muslim, the teachings of Islam, in order to earn a dollar or two. We should never do that. Why is this? This is because if everyone had to do that, and believe me, it's happening in some parts of the globe, where people would just want to earn by hook or crook, literally by hook or crook, they want to earn. If that is the case, life would be full of mafias, and each one would want to outdo the other, and even when you become so wealthy, you won't be able to stomach one deal that another person has got, because it should have come to me. Why did it go to them? This happens sometimes to the mega wealthy. What happens to them? They have everything. They have thousands of department stores and thousands of businesses, but a small man has one supermarket and this big man cannot stomach it. Why does he have it? Why? Fix him. Show him. He wants to compete with me. Who is he? Allahu Akbar. What is this? Personality is gone out of the window, thrown straight out. We should realize Allah's given you, you only needed one store to survive. The other 500 you are holding, they are not even going to be used by you, not even a fraction of it. And here is a poor man suffering to come up onto his feet, and you are becoming jealous of him. What kind of personality do you have? So Allah says, you should be happy to set up a fellow Muslim or even a fellow human being in business and see them grow. Allahu Akbar. What did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum do? When the Muhajireen, the people of Mecca, migrated to Medina Munawwara, they were assisted to come onto their feet to the degree that they became wealthier than those who assisted them. And there was no hatred amongst them. They loved each other to the T. Subhanallah. Who would do that? That was the personality. That is the Islamic personality. Where are we and where is the personality? Today a person cannot even pay a Muslim staff or even a non-Muslim staff equivalent to the work they are doing. You know this man is suffering, he's got a family, he's got bills to pay, he's got so many things to do, but we are paying them far lower than what we would had it been someone else we imported from another more advanced country. Same person, but we don't want to pay them. Why? Because I know him and his family. Where is he going to go? He won't go anyway. He can't get another job. Believe me, it is an act of worship to increase the salaries of those working for you for as long as you can afford it, and you know that this person deserves this amount. Don't hold back. When you increase their salary, it will come to your grave with you as a point of creating ease in your grave. Why do I say this? Because you will be asked about your wealth on the day of judgment. And even prior to that, your wealth will already either be a burden upon you or it will be a means of ease for you. And if you have given it away and you have spent it in the right cause, it will come in to assist you. And it will be a means of creating ease for you to enter paradise. You could spend what Allah gave you. Allah says, I own paradise, I just want to give it to you. There you are. So we are not talking of charities. Sometimes you have people who give big charities, but they cannot pay their own people who work for them. So their employees begin to complain, and yet the others are saying, but this man is so charitable. They do not have their priorities straight. They do not have them straight. Someone is sweating for you, they are working for you, you haven't paid the man. And if you've paid him, he is complaining. He sleeps every day saying, Ya Allah, we need this. Ya Allah, we need that. Ya Allah, put it in the heart of this man to increase. Do this, do that, and so on. May Allah grant us goodness. I know I have spoken on one side. Let me quickly speak on the other. So nobody develops horns. You know what the development of horns means? That means people will take a copy of this lecture and give it to their boss. And say, minute this, or from this second to that second, please listen to it. So in order to equate that, we need to say, when you are working somewhere, work hard. And you need to know, as a Muslim worker, there's no time to sit on the internet, to read the newspaper, to have tea, and to go and, you know, fool around and so on. Work hard. And remember, let those whom you are working for feel and believe that you are an asset to their system, and inshallah, Allah will be pleased with you. But the minute we are not honest, and the minute we are people who take it for granted, in that particular case, we do not deserve goodness. The personality on our side is lacking. We ask Allah to make us good employers and good employees. So here we have only spoken about salah and zakah. And I've spoken about how important giving wealth is. And how it develops our personality. Look at where we started. The charities, and we went on to salaries as well. Development of personality. In fact, we can even spend a few moments on employer-employee relationship, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِخْوَانُكُمْ خَوَلُكُمْ جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ فَلْيُطْعِمْهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلْ وَلْيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسْ وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يُغْلِبُهُمْ فَإِنْ كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَأَعِينُوهُمْ. What a powerful hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, your servants, or the people who work for you, are your brothers. They are your brothers. Your brothers, either in humanity if they are not Muslim, or in Islam if they are Muslim. And it is just coincidence that Allah has put them under your authority. Did you hear that? It is just coincidence that Allah has put them under your authority, which means if Allah wanted, the coin could have been the other way around. You could have been under them. And there may come a time when your grandchildren will be under their grandchildren. How many times it has already happened, where there were wealthy people whose fathers used to work for, you know, or people's fathers used to work for the wealthy, and today those grandchildren of the wealthy are working for the grandchildren of the one who was working for the wealthy. Allahu Akbar. If you've seen it, it has happened. So the hadith continues to say, Allah has put them under your authority. So whosoever has a brother under his authority in this manner, he should feed him with similar food to that which he eats. Allahu Akbar. And he should clothe him with similar clothing to which he clothes himself. That's a tough one, isn't it? Very tough. And the hadith continues to say, and do not ask them to do something so difficult to do. If you want to instruct them to do something very difficult, you stand up and help them. Allahu Akbar. That is personality. This is Islam. This is what it is. So when you are giving people, make sure, if not exactly your clothing, you know, at least something they are comfortable with. At least something they are comfortable with. And you tell a man, you know what, take these rocks and put them there. And he's one man, and he looks at you, he says, yes sir. And he's, in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to suffer. And then he's trying to lift it, and he's sweating and so on. Wallahi, a good Muslim. You can have been a boss and 10 bosses, inshallah. And you can be a big boss also, and a very big boss also. But you can also roll up your sleeves, take out your shoes or whatever you'd like, or put on gumboots and say, look, you hold that side, I hold this side. Wallahi, in a few moments, he will realize this man is following a heavenly religion. In a few moments, he will realize this big boss that the whole world looks up to has put down all his pride and he's come to give me a hand. I am working for him. And he's telling me, let me carry this side of the crate and you carry the other side, and together we'll take these 20 crates onto the other side. Subhanallah. That is development of personality. There we are. The same applies in business. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by the man who was selling dates, and he put his hand in and he felt the bad dates at the bottom and the beautiful dates at the top, what did he say? Ma hadha ya sahib at-ta'am? What have you done here? Man ghashshana falaysa minna. Whoever cheats and deceives is not from us.
He cannot be from us. You want to shortchange the people. You want to write a check that is going to bounce. You want to intentionally put a signature that doesn't even spell your name, so in order to gain a week or two time. Allah protect us. This is happening amongst people who call themselves Muslim and amongst people who might pray 5 times a day. But because they think that Islam is confined to the masjid, the minute they come out of the masjid, they are somewhere else doing something else. I need to make a quick buck. Why? Because I have my family to look after. What type of money is that going to help? Then you find a child in this direction, the other child in the other direction. Why is this happening? Because your wealth is dirty. Allah protect us. We need to know this. Develop our character. Let's move on to something more than zakah. Let's look at fasting. What is fasting all about? Fasting has so many benefits. It's a pillar of Islam. But it develops our character and conduct and personality. When we have forced ourselves to stay away from food and water that is right there, what will happen? And from sexual desires that are permissible, we stop ourselves from it. In order to do what? Personality development as well. Which means there are many reasons, but this is one. It's our topic. We need to speak about it. You get to realize the condition of the poor. You get to think to yourself that there are some people who cannot afford food or who do not have it at all. And here I am, I can't even stand 12 hours without it. So it makes you, it should be making you want to help them. And a lot of people give out their charities in the month of Ramadan to the degree that the reward is multiplied in the condition of fasting. We know that. Your heart becomes soft. A person becomes generous. Amazing. So it develops our character and conduct again. Another thing, when we are fasting, what are we taught? مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Whoever in the condition of fasting does not leave false speech or false witness and evil foul speech, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need the fact that he has abstained from his food and drink. It doesn't help in any way. Nothing. What does that mean? In the condition of fasting, you need to make sure that you watch your tongue. In the same way, we don't allow things to go in, we don't allow things to come out that will displease Allah. A lot of the times we have a problem. In Ramadan, to be very honest with you, come the heat of the afternoon and people are swearing. You have this man in his trishaw, the other man in his vehicle, people are hooting at each other, they are, you know, showing signs to each other, swearing each other from a distance and so on. And you are fasting, my brother, you are fasting, my sister. Why the temper? Why allow shaitan to overtake? Remember, it's a time to develop your personality. Be patient. Be patient. And you will notice that that patience will come to your rescue. The same applies abstaining from permissible relations with your own wife. What should it do for you? It should develop your personality to say, in the condition of fasting, I could stay away from this. When I'm not fasting, I will appreciate it, that which is permissible. So if I can stay away from that which is allowed, from that which is permissible for these many hours, then surely I can stay away from that which is not permissible at all for the rest of my 11 months. But when a person hasn't fasted properly, what development of character do they want? And let's move on to the last one. And that is the Hajj. Do you know that Hajj is compulsory for all those who can afford the trip and manage it and have been granted permission to go and do it, meaning you have a visa for it? Once in a lifetime, compulsory. To go for Hajj is easy. To come back and live as a person who has fulfilled Hajj, what we would call a Hajj, is not that easy. When a person goes for Hajj, my experience, and this is not from the Quran or the Sunnah, it's just a personal experience. I have seen many people go for Hajj. When they go, Allah tests them with something they have been spoiled with throughout their lives. And in Hajj, it's not there. What does that mean? If you have lived in the most luxurious home throughout your life, when you go for Hajj, I've seen it happening to many people, and I've spoken to a lot of people, there will be something wrong with the accommodation. Why? Allah wants to test you. Brother, you are going to be forgiven all your past sins. You're going to be dipped literally into something where you're going to come out as clean as the day you were born. We all know that. That's what happens. You think that comes for free? comes with a lot of patience. So whatever you've been spoilt with throughout your life, that particular item you will be tested with. So if you have a luxurious home, you might have a problem with your accommodation. Not because of anything. Allah wants to test you to say, hang on, your personality, we want to develop it here. Let's see how you react the day you don't have it your way. Allahu Akbar. And then you have people rolling up their sleeves in Hajj, in the condition of Ihram, beating up the agents and telling them, you have robbed me, you cheated me, you see this room here, it is like this and it is like that, and this is bad and that is worse, and starting to swear in Mina and Arafah. If that's the case, we've lost the reward of our Hajj. Sometimes you have people who have very good conveyance. When you go there, you might jump into a bus, the AC is not working, they promised you AC. Another thing is, the tire ruptures, stuck halfway through Makkah, Medina, no one comes to repair. What happens? 15 hours we are sitting on the road. Allah says, hang on, my worshipper, from the time you were born, this was already tailor-made for you. We only watch, you're going to have it once in your life. We are watching how you react. Please react correctly. Allahu Akbar. Whatever we go through, it's tailor-made. The tests I have and you have, Allah knows about them. It's going to happen sometimes once in our lives. And Allah's watching how we react. And we react in the worst way. You pick up your sleeves and start swearing the driver. Why? What's wrong? It was the tire. So then you swear the road. And then what else? You want to swear the heat. Now what's going to happen? May Allah protect us. That's not going to repair your vehicle. Allahu Akbar. You need to realize Allah is developing you. These are the tests. You see, yesterday's topic, we spoke on calamities. And we spoke on coping with it. Do you know that when you cope with calamity, it automatically develops your personality? Allahu Akbar. Look at how interrelated the subjects are. If you have difficulty after difficulty, you are coping, you develop your link with your maker, you realize, you go and help people, you try and do as much as you can, you develop yourself in so many ways, what does it do to you? It makes you a better Muslim, a better person, a better human being, and closer to your own maker, and closer to the other people around you. Amazing. So in Hajj we are tested. We have to give preference to others, because we cannot be first all the time. If we are used to, mashallah, some people VIP. Everywhere they go, they jump the queue, mashallah. Everywhere you go, you jump the queue. In Hajj, there is nothing like that. You have to go, there are another few million people in front of you. You will have to stand with them. You will have to walk up the same ramp 4 or 5 kilometers to pelt the devil. You will have to also grab those stones in your own hand. And you will have to also pelt. And you will have to come out just like everyone else does. And you have to do tawaf ziyarah as packed as it is with all whatever amount of rush there might be there. You will have to go within a specific time frame to do that, whether you like it or not. And you have to be courteous to others because everyone wants to achieve the same thing. What is that? If it is not personality development, what is it? Yes, there are many other benefits of the 5 pillars of Islam. Today we have only discussed the one aspect of it, the aspect of personality development. And I have given several examples, and there are so many other examples that I can give. And I'd like to end by saying, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who have learnt a lesson. And we ask Allah to make us from those who firmly believe that there is room for improvement in our personality. Every one of us here. Let us go home and think, where can I improve myself? My relation, firstly, with my spouse, with my children, with my parents, with my uncles and aunts, my families, my relatives, my in-laws and so on. How can I develop my relation? Wallahi, I'm not joking. I am being serious. Let us go home and ask ourselves, how can I develop myself with my neighbors, with the non-Muslims I interact with? You know, to smile sometimes is a great act of charity, especially in the face of a fellow Muslim. But that doesn't mean you must frown in the face of a non-Muslim. No. Sometimes a little smile and a small greeting, it breaks a lot of ice. And they might come closer to Islam. We gave you an example of how the messenger, peace be upon him, not only the issue of assisting, but assisting a non-Muslim. And on top of that, someone who really did not like him, to be honest with you, and was open about it. Allahu Akbar. That is the height of example. And this is why the Quran describes the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are on a very great level of character and conduct. Your personality is of a top-notch level, subhanallah. That is the Quran describing the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who said, khiyarukum ahasinukum akhlaqan. The best from amongst you are those who have best character and conduct. And he also says, myself and the one who has good character and conduct will be like this in paradise. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked him, O Messenger, may peace be upon him, tell us, there will be people who will go to paradise for several reasons. What is the main thing that will have driven the maximum number of people to paradise? I hope you understand the question. What is the main point that would have taken them to heaven? People who will enter heaven, what brought them there? What is it that they had that was different from the others who did not get there? So he answered very beautifully. He says, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Two things. The consciousness of the Creator and good character and conduct. There you are. You want to get access into Jannah? Develop these two, and inshallah, by the will of Allah, we will see you there. And until then, or until we meet slightly earlier, back again in the dunya, if Allah wills, we say, وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك